It is good to be in God's house tonight, amen. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, you must study it, you've got to know it, you've got to assimilate it, you've got to live by it, but friend, you've got to stand on it. In these days when everything that is not nailed down is coming loose and Satan is pulling up the nails as fast as he can, you've got to stand on God's holy Word, and I'll tell you why you've got to stand on it. It's because it's the only sure thing there is. It is time for God's people to begin to live like the Word of God matters. There's an old proverb, friends, that says, what you don't know can't hurt you. Would you agree with that? What are the consequences of ignorance? The first thing you need to realize in the world in which we're living, that the Millennials, the Gen Zs, the Gen Alphas, these generations born from 1980 to where we are in our present day, have grown up in a world that is a sea of moral relativism. And this is something that we baby boomers and Gen Xers did not grow up in. But if we'll listen, it'll help us understand why we have become a culture that no longer fears God. Moral relativism simply means this, that what may be true for me is not necessarily true for you. If I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and that works for me, people will say, that's fine, that's your truth. But someone else will say, if I believe Ronald McDonald is my Savior and I get free Big Macs every Sunday and that's my truth, we quickly find ourselves hanging on to vague religious opinions, don't we? Our society today brags about pluralism, and pluralism simply means there's room for every idea, and while that may sound good, it is not good because some ideas are nothing more than pure evil. That's what they are. In reality, what our modern world practices is syncretism. And syncretism is simply the blending of all religious thoughts into a bland mixture that comes out sounding something like this. Well, there's many roads to God. Is that true? Are there many roads to God? In the living Word of God, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. So what happens to the guy who believes that Ronald McDonald is his Savior or some of the other nonsense that goes on today, and they claim, that's my truth? Well, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you will, tonight. Open God's Word, and when you're there, if you'll please rise as we honor God with the reading of His Word, if you are able. And Paul is writing this book under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and this is what he writes. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, here's why perilous times come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Well, Father, as we gather around your word tonight, Lord, we're living in a world that is unlike any world. It's like the world that's described right here in your word. Lord, no wonder there is not a holy fear of God in this land today. Lord, what made America great is because America was good, because thundering from the pulpits of America was, thus saith the Lord. But Father, all these generations later now, from the 1800 Great Enlightenment, We have come to where we do not hear very often, "Thus saith the Lord," from the pulpits of America. And America has gone bad because, Lord, the pulpits of America have gone bad. And what we need back in the pulpits of America are men who will stand up and declare, "Thus saith the Lord." Father, you are what makes a nation great. You are what makes people good. You are God and God alone. And Lord, in America, we need God as never before. In our lives, we need God as never before. Our need for God has never lessened. It only grows. Father, of all men, we are poor people. And I'm reminded that the psalmist said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." And Lord, if ever there was a time in our world today when poor men ought to be crying out to a holy God, today is that day. Father, use your word tonight to encourage us to make the Bible our foundation, to stand upon your word, to live it out each and every day of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now remember, we're preaching about timeless truth from God's word. And here in our text, Paul gives us an apt description of a world that no longer has a holy fear of God, a world that is living under the passive wrath of God, and a world that is soon going to face the active wrath of God in a time we Christians know as the Great Tribulation. It is a world that is full of moral relativism, syncretism, and pluralism. Now remember, God wrote the Bible because every word of Scripture is God-breathed, and I'll say more about that in just a moment. But what does God have Paul write is possible for people living today? He has Paul write this: They will be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And what God means by this is what we know by experience. And it's possible to gather. It's possible to know a lot of facts up here and never have what you know up here reach your heart by experience because you've never put the Word of God into action. And so, in fact, many Christians, they don't grow in their faith simply because they do not know. They have the facts, but they don't possess the truth. There are many who go to church today who are about 12 inches from being saved. You see, they got it up here, but it hadn't reached down here. And if it never reaches the heart, what you got up here won't do you any good. Oh, the Word of God has got to get into the heart of man today. What we need to know, if all you want is the facts of a Bible, that's like pulling out a recipe card to cook a meal. Could you imagine, here's Brother Jerry. Oh, he's worked hard that day. He's so hungry. He comes in from the working outside, and Sister Kathy pulls out a recipe card, and she says, "Here you go, honey. Here's your meal. Eat it." That going to do him any good at all? You know it's not. It's not going to do him at all. How nourished would he be if all he did was eat a recipe card? Solomon wrote, "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." What does that verse encourage us to do? It encourages us to do three things that we need to remember as we go through life. First, we need to prize truth. Many people today don't prize the truth. And truth, friend, is a person, because the person is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the truth." Truth is a person. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word will never pass away." Why will his word never pass away? Because his word is truth, and Jesus is the truth, and Jesus lives forever. He'll never pass away. That's why he can boldly proclaim, "My word will never pass away. I am the truth." Truth is a person. And we're never going to be victorious in our Christian life without a firm conviction based on the foundation of truth. Second, The verse encourages us to purchase truth. Salvation is free. Discipleship costs. And yet ignorance is far more costly. How many of you would agree that we are living in a world full of ignorance today? Oh, I tell you what, I shudder when I think of what some people go to church and hear today. They hear a man's idea. They hear God loves everybody. They hear it's okay to be a homosexual. They hear it's okay to be this, to be that. It's okay. The Bible is old-fashioned. The Bible doesn't know what it's talking about. It's not relevant for our times. Oh, what stupidity comes, what ignorance comes from the pulpits of some of those things they call churches that God doesn't know is a church at all in America today. People don't prize the truth. People are ignorant today. And we're living in an ignorant world today. And if you don't want to take the church house, all you need to do is look at D.C. If you want to know how weak America is, all you need to do is look at the President of the United States. You've never seen such a weak, lily-livered man in all my life, and I will tell you that's an apt description of the United States of America today. We are a weak nation because we have fallen away from God. And then we need to preserve truth. It's not easy to be a Christian in today's world, is it? Matter of fact, God had brought Paul right, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That means we as Christians are going to suffer. There may come a time when we're going to have to suffer, when we'll suffer for the faith we claim. And when suffering comes, I want to tell you what's going to happen. Satan's going to come to you, and he's going to whisper in your ear. He's going to tell you, you just give up that old faith. It's going to be all right. No, it ain't going to be all right if you give up the faith. Friend, don't do it. Don't sell out. Satan's going to entice you to sell out your faith. Don't you do it. You get a tenacious grip on your faith and you never let it go. And we do that by taking God's word, and we do it by hiding God's word in our heart that we might not sin against him. Oh, this is a time and a day and an age when we need to be standing on the word of God, when we need to be memorizing scripture, when we need to know what the Bible says, because friend, there may come a time when they will not allow you to have a Bible, and if you've got that word hidden in your heart, you're going to be able to tell people all about Jesus. Amen. Oh, listen, when we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is what the Bible says. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When you stop and think about that, what are those verses implying? What is the starting place for Christian growth? It's to have a firm conviction that this book is a living word. This is not like any other book. This is not like a book in your library. This is a living word. This book is the inspiration and authority of God himself. God has given us his truth in written form that we might know how to go home to heaven. Well, how many problems does man have? Have you ever stopped to think about that? How many problems do you really have? We only got three: sin, sorrow, and death. Every other problem in the world is just a subset of sin, sorrow, and death. And the Bible is the only book on earth that has the answer to all three conditions. It's for this important reason that we understand and have a rock-ribbed assurance that this book is the Word of God. Now, I said last week, and I hope you remember, if I asked the question, who's the greatest enemy of the Bible? And if you'll remember, it's a so-called Christian who simply ignores the Bible or disregards it altogether. It's sad. But a lot of folks, they live by emotions or their feelings. And I want to tell you something about emotions and feelings. They're the shallowest part of our being. And God does not do his deepest work in the shallowest part of our being. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What does our salvation depend on? What does our Christian walk depend on? Hearing the voice of Jesus through His Holy Spirit so we can understand the gospel message presented to us in the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us illumination. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us understand. No one can have the assurance that they are saved if they are not resting in the truth of God's Word. Our spiritual growth depends on living by the principles that are contained here in the Bible. Not by some knothead on Facebook. Not by some joker on social media. Not by peer pressure. Not by any other thing. Our salvation, our walk with God depends on the principles that are contained in the Bible. We need to live by the Word of God. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When we eat food, we get hungry again. And the food we eat today, it's not going to last us the rest of our day. But when the Word of God lives within your heart and in your soul, you can continually draw from the nutrients of the Word of God that the Word of God gives us. You can stand on the promises that God says. You've got something to fight old Satan. You've got something to talk to the knotheads in the world. You've got something solid upon which you can stand. What's more, our power in witnessing depends on the confidence we have in God's Word. And so if we've no confidence in God's Word, we aren't going to share our faith. Now remember, we've been preaching on timeless truths. And that means that God's Word is just as relevant for a world that is lost today in moral relativism, syncretism, and pluralism as it was in every other generation known unto man. And we need to know God's Word so we can build our lives on the solid foundation that it provides. Listen, there is no other solid foundation in life but the Word of God. And along this journey, we've discussed science, and we should all be able to agree that science is constantly changing. The science of yesterday is not the science of today. Science is ever changing, but you know what? God's Word never changes, does it? Jesus Christ said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. And in a world adrift in moral relativism, syncretism, and pluralism, a world that rejects Jesus Christ, a world that refuses Jesus Christ, a world that fights against Jesus Christ, a world that claims Jesus Christ, the Bible, is not truth. It's not the Word of God. We have the right to change it and make it say what we want. Oh, and then they claim there's all these other roads to heaven. Well, I want to share with you some straight talk. Just another reason why we can be certain that the Bible is the Word of God. And I'd like to illustrate this for just a moment. Let's just suppose that in Lebanon, Virginia, that our town leaders decided that they wanted to build a monument that would honor all 50 states. And the stones were gathered from every state, some stones from every state. So from New York, you get some granite. And then from Georgia, you get some sandstone. And then from Indiana, you get some limestone. You know, just so on and so forth. You get a stone, something from every state. And all these things they come in all kinds of different shapes and sizes. So some are rectangular, some are triangular. Some are cylindrical, some shaped like a pyramid, a trapezoid, and some you can't even name what kind of shape they is. But they're all cut out there in a quarry, and then they're shipped on in here to Lebanon, Virginia. And when they arrive, the workmen, they take these stones and they begin to put them together like you would a puzzle. And all the stones interface, all the stones interlock together, and Not one stone needs to be built up. Not one stone needs to be cut down. Furthermore, there's not one stone too many, and there's not one stone too few. And when the workmen are finished, we all drive downtown to look at this tremendous, beautiful monument that honors all 50 states of the Union. Well, you're intelligent people. Would you believe that happened by chance? Or would you believe there would have had to have been a master architect? One who in his mind could see the finished product. One who would have sent out instructions to each of the quarries. Now keep this in mind as we think tonight about the unity of the Bible, because the unity of the Bible proves that the Bible is the Word of God. One of the proofs that the Bible is absolutely true is its unity. How many books does the Bible contain? Well, if you paid attention this morning, them little children told us. They sang about all 66. Wasn't that special? How many authors does the Bible have? Do you know? I'm glad you asked. It has 40. How many different languages were used to write the Bible? Do you know? 3. Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. How long did it take to write the Bible? 1,600 years. And these 40 authors lived on different continents, 3 different continents, and in about 13 different countries. And every one of them came from differing backgrounds. Some were shepherds, some were kings, some were soldiers, others were princes, some were fishermen. And some were scholars, some were historians, some professional men, some common laborers. But, like our monument story, when you bring all 66 books together, it makes one story from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible has one theme. Do you know what it is? It's redemption. The Bible has one hero, Jesus Christ. The Bible has one villain, that old devil, that old serpent. The Bible has one purpose, to glorify God. And all of it fits together perfectly. Each verse of Holy Scripture is able to uphold the weight of the whole Bible. And that's why a person can't just read a little bit here and a little bit over there. Every person needs to read the entire Bible so that they can understand, really understand, and really get to know God. And if you've never read the Bible all the way through, and I'm talking every book, all 66 of them, from Genesis to Revelation, you do not know God as well as you think you do. There is so much of God that He wants to show you. And now just imagine for a moment. Can you imagine taking 40 different people over a period of 1,600 years, all from different walks of life? Now just think about that for a moment. Each was independent of the other. Each did not have the opportunity to read what the other wrote. Each wrote their own story. Wrote their own part, if you will. All under the inspiration of Almighty God. Can you imagine what kind of a hodgepodge you would have if I went down there and whispered something to Marty and he whispered it all the way back through the church? He'd come back up here to Michelle and she'd tell me what I said. Y'all know that game. It's never what you said. In fact, God has given us a picture of what it would look like in our day. It would look like the swamp in D.C. You got a lot of talking heads and none of them make any sense. Amen? God's Word doesn't work like that. God's Word is a book of perfect unity. And that unity proves it is the Word of God. And that's what makes God's Word the absolute truth that stands above and beyond the false philosophies of moral relativism, syncretism, and pluralism that our world today is hanging its hat on. This book, this word, this truth is the only thing that can free you from the passive wrath of God and keep you from the active wrath of God. It's just straight talk from the Bible. It's timeless truth that leads to salvation. Now allow me to share this with you, and then we're through. When the child of God loves the Word of God, and I pray that you, I tell you what, I love the Word of God. There's no other word so wonderful as this word. You know, in this world today, we hear so many words, don't we? This is the only one that makes sense. So when the child of God loves the Word of God and he sees the Son of God, he is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God, because he has found the truth of God. Have you found the truth of God for your life? Who do you know who needs the truth of God for their life? Do you study this word? Do you know it? Do you assimilate it? Do you live by it? Friend, do you stand on it? Even when you've got a world of people telling you, you crazy, you're wrong. When you got a group of people arguing with you, are you going to be strong enough to say, thus saith the Lord? I'm going to tell you something. Thus saith the Lord. That's all I know. Thus saith the Lord. And if God says it, it's true. And if you or I say it, it's false. The only truth there is in the whole world today is the Word of God. There is no other truth. And I pray that you'll study the truth, know the truth, assimilate it, live by it, and stand on it. Because it is the only solid foundation there is in a world of moral relativism, syncretism, and pluralism, all that hogwash, that's all that is. We need to live by the truth of God's Word. And I say, give me that old-time religion. We need some of that in America today, don't we? Father God, we thank you for your Word to us tonight. Oh, Lord, as we think about this old world, as we think about this nation here today, Lord, and what's going on in our nation and what's affecting our children and our grandchildren. And, oh, Lord, we wonder why so many of them are lost. We wonder why so many of them don't see their need for Jesus Christ. We look at what goes on in D.C. and we wonder why is there no holy fear of God. Lord, it's because the minds of men have become muck. They've lost sight of what is right, because they do not fear a holy God. Lord, we need you in America today. We need a revival in America today. And I pray that each one of us would develop a holy fervor and a holy fire for Almighty God. That, Lord, we would love the Word of God. We'd live by the Word of God, and we'd stand on the Word of God. Lord, you've called us to be the salt and the light of this earth. And, Father, I pray that you'll put the Holy Spirit's fire within us, and that, Lord, every time we have opportunity, we'll be telling people about what God says. And Lord, would you make our world right again? Father, we're praying for a great revival, another great awakening before Jesus comes. There's so many who are lost, Lord, and I can't stand the thought of it. I can't stand the thought of one single soul going down to hell. Lord, would you come? Would you honor our preaching? Would you honor the prayers of your people? Would you honor this church when we get right with you? Father God, would you bring a revival such as has never been seen before? Would you let it start here, and would you let it sweep around the world? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.